This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
We're back, and I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for September 19th, episode 1522, brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, horse world.
It's Monday.
Monday is my favorite time of year.
This is Horses in the Morning with your lovable hosts, Jamie Jennings.
I am the queen. You listen to me.
I'm sorry that people are so jealous of me, but I can't help it that I'm popular.
Glenn the Geek.
You look especially radiant today, Your Grace.
I'm going to do a terrific show today because I'm good enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Happy Monday.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us this morning. We are back from vacation, ready and raring to go. And
no, you're not. Don't lie.
Yeah, okay.
Don't lie.
It was tough to leave nice, cool mornings with no humidity in the Colorado Rockies to come back to 95 with 100% humidity. I got to admit, it was tough. But our animals were here, and we wanted to see our pets. So
okay.
So we're back. We got in late last night, actually. We got in about 8, 9 o'clock last night. So we haven't had a whole lot of time to hang around and twiddle our thumbs here at Horse Radio Network Ranch. But
now,
I missed you.
You have to realize this is something that you always have to do. You always have to come back a day early before you start work, because then you can get caught up on everything.
Yeah, I screwed that one up.
I did screw
that up in the planning. Well, we wanted to have our listener meet up on Saturday at the horse park. Met some of our listeners out there. We'll talk about that. But if it sounds like Jamie's on the phone and not on her usual microphone, that's because she is.
Yes, my computer decided to update. So as soon as it's done, I'll switch over. But sorry.
Yeah, it's only been updating for the last hour. And you can't interrupt that because it says, do not turn off your computer or your computer will die.
It actually says, working on updates, don't turn off your PC. This will take a while. What kind of crappy computer did you send me?
Well, you probably haven't turned it on since we last talked, which was like 2 weeks ago. So,
yep, exactly.
Well, we have a lot to do on today's show and a lot coming up, but we're going to talk about. Jennifer's going to tell us about that, maybe? Are you?
Maybe.
Okay.
Coming up on today's Omega Alpha Monday edition, we will begin with equestrian artist Shia Beth, who's making some really interesting denim horses. And then mid-show, Dr. Chang helps us with some help about keeping our senior horses happy and healthy. And then riding drag, Leslie has the hottest posts from the wacky world of Horse Nation. So stay tuned for the Friday, folks.
And we will, toward the end of the show, after Leslie, we'll be chatting, and Jamie's going to get us all caught up, because I kind of missed all the news while we were gone, because we had no internet and no phone most of the time. But you're going to get us caught up on the Mustang situation that broke while we were gone, so we'll talk about that later in the show, too. Jennifer and I kind of have a theory we want to run by you. So,
okay.
So that's all coming up on today's show, but first, we have a lot of daily winnies to get to. Let's do those. I wanted to thank the auditors who came out to see us at the Colorado Horse Park, Katie Kelly from there in Colorado. Geraldine Brown drove all the way from New Mexico 4 hours to meet with us. So thank you, Gerald. We appreciate that. Christy Landwehr was there. Of course, she hosts the CHA episode tomorrow. She'll be on, and we had never met her in person. So it was fun to hang out with her. And Christy was much taller than I thought. And Minnie Sarah. We finally got to meet Minnie Sarah, who regular listeners will know we've talked about on this show for years, and she really is Minnie. I don't know if you saw the picture, Jamie, of me standing beside Minnie Sarah, but she really is Minnie.
For those who don't know, Glenn makes most people look mini. However, she was really tiny.
She is.
Bless her little heart.
I know. And she drives, and for those that don't know Mini Sarah, she became a favorite of ours years ago. She drives a mini. She's a mounted shooter, except she drives a cart, and she drives a mini who's blind. So they actually drive those patterns, and she does the shooting from the cart, and she has a world, she was wearing her world championship buckle for mounted shooting that she has. So it was very cool to see her and to get caught up. Her mom and dad were there, so that was fun. And apparently there were a couple people we missed. I got some emails this morning, and they saw us there, and then all of a sudden we were gone, or they couldn't find us again. So we're sorry we missed you, and hope to catch up again at some point. Real quick, here is...
Happy birthday, happy birthday, happy, happy birthday to you.
This is a happy birthday I cannot miss because it's for auditor and legacy listener Rhonda from Canada. It's her birthday today. So happy birthday, Rhonda. We can never miss Rhonda's birthday. That's like, we would have to just quit and close up the network. But I didn't. I saw it, and it is her birthday. So happy birthday, Rhonda. Now, Jay, we're going to change up the order here a little bit. Jennifer has a Daily Winnie.
My Daily Winnie goes to a horse named Horace and the wonderful person who loaned him to me for the day, Betty Faye! Yay! The highlight of my 10-day vacation was to go out and ride in the mountains with Betty Faye and Horace and Katie, and we had a grand time climbing up and down the mountains in south of Denver near Cannon City, and it was fabulous, and thank you for letting me do that. It was great. Got to ride my very first Missouri Fox Trotter.
Oh, that's fun. And then, of course, for those who have listened before, Betty Faye was the previous owner of The Duke, who lives at my house now. So
The Duke.
I became familiar with Betty years ago. Gosh, I realize I've had him over 4 years now. Thanks, Betty.
Oh, wow.
Well, that's...
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure that Katie, the horse, Betty Faye's horse that she was riding, a gorgeous, giant-sized warm blood mare, pretty sure she is the only registered warm blood cruising around the mountainsides in Colorado.
So cool.
She was awesome.
So, Jamie, ask Jennifer. Now, they were out for, what, 4 or 5 hours, Jennifer? You were riding?
About 4 hours,
yeah,
I think.
Ask
yeah.
Jennifer how she felt the next day.
Missouri Foxtrotter. Different set of muscles,
Well, we walked the whole time. We really didn't go fast. But being a Foxtrotter, his regular walk is any other horse's energetic trot. So we were moving right along, but it was really not much effort on my part except to hold on tight as we went straight up and straight down and around a corner and straight up and straight down again. And, get altitude sickness up there.
It explains, seeing the pictures explains why the Duke is, like, the best trail horse ever. He's like, this is nothing. Desert? Nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's not a cliff that drops 1,000 feet two inches beside his foot.
And it was just boulders. It was mile after mile of clambering over these basketball-sized boulders that were just rolling around in the trails. It was crazy. Did not slow Horace down one bit. He just flew through them. It's crazy.
There is one thing that slowed Jennifer down, though, Jamie, and that's the bridges. Apparently, she had to get off and walk across the bridges because she couldn't do those bridges riding.
Horace was fine, but I'm chicken.
That's what I was wondering. Is that a horse thing or a mom thing?
That's me. That was me. And besides, it gave me a chance to get off and walk for a minute or three and get the circulation back to my feet.
Jennifer's not used to riding 5 hours anymore.
It was awesome, though. It was so much fun.
They both came back smiling, and they had a great time. So thanks, Betty Faye, for doing that. You made Jennifer's week. It was either that or she had to ride in one of those nose-to-tail trail rides, and this was much better than that. So
it was much better than nose-to-tail, yeah.
All right, Jamie, your turn.
Good. Well, my Daily Winnie goes out to my baby mama, Pink. We did our final ultrasound on the baby, who is due in 4 months, less than 4 months, actually.
Boy or girl?
And it's a boy, obviously. I just don't know that yet.
Oh, you couldn't tell? You couldn't tell? There was nothing revealing
no.
the sex?
Okay. Well, at this point, he's laying on his back, and his, you know, his head is up, and his little feet are curled up, and his wiener was way far down, so you can't actually see it. So when you're ultrasounding, and I posted a picture of it, and I'll post it on the Horses in the Morning page, to post a picture of it, the only thing we saw was, like, she was like, oh, here's his eye, and it was this giant eye, and you could kind of see the sinus lines going down his face, and it was really, really cool to see. I saw my baby. It was really neat. So he's in the right position. He's progressing along nicely, and my baby mom is doing a great job.
Well, good. Congratulations. That's terrific.
I'm going to be a mom again. I'd have to carry it.
I saw you. Diapers. You posted the picture of the eyeball, and
yes.
And then, you know, you made the announcement, and I there were a lot of people that didn't realize you were talking about your mare's baby.
Well, when you post, here's my baby, and an ultrasound picture, most people that I know that I'm Facebook friends with, I've got a section of horse friends, and then, you know, as everybody does, then you have that section of, like, people you went to high school with that you don't ever talk to that Facebook friend you, and then you've got your section of, like, you know, normal people, like Air Force wives and all this, and all, like, two-thirds of them were very confused, and one-third was like, yay!
Yeah, especially the ones that know you well who and know that you have said, I am never doing this baby thing again 100 times since had the baby. So,
yeah. I might have said that a few times.
Yeah, a few. A few. I thought about you, and I also thought about Chad when we were on top of Pikes Peak. We took the cog railway up to Pikes Peak. This was our second day there. Nothing like acclimating to the height before you go all the way up to 14,000 feet. By the way, we didn't have any trouble with the height. Thank you to Jarrah for recommending those drops. I don't know if they worked, but we didn't get height ill at all during the trip. But we went up top of Pikes Peak. We got buzzed by an F-16, and so I thought of you and Chad. I didn't know if Chad was messing with us, but he was only about 500 feet from the top of the mountain and the visitor center, and he came right around on his side. And just came right around. So he obviously was playing. And it was fun to see, though. It was fun to see.
I'm sure it was a very well-planned mission, Glenn. Well-planned. And I'm sure that the people that go to the Grand Canyon have seen my husband a couple times.
Buzzing them.
Yes.
It's very loud when they buzz you at that rate of speed from about 500 feet. Even at 14,000 feet up, it's very loud. But it was fun to see everybody was clapping after he went by with their gloves on because it was freaking cold. So now we had a great trip. We had a wonderful time. The Colorado Rockies are absolutely stunning. And we got to see a lot of animals. We got to see a lot of elk, and we got to see something play out that was kind of cool. It's rutting season there, and they're doing what they call bugling. It's this noise they make during rutting season. Mm-hmm. And it's eerie. It's eerie and kind of cool at the same time, but we were real close to, I don't know, are they called a herd of elk? There was a bull, a huge bull, and I have pictures I'm going to be posting later today of all the animals we saw. There's a huge bull and about 20 cows there, and he obviously was in charge of all of them. And there was another bull that wanted to come in, and it came in, and they were kind of in a wooded area, and this was all about 50 feet from us. There was another bull that came into this wooded area and started rounding up some of the cows very quietly. He kept looking over at the big one, who was busy looking away. And he rounded up about five or six of them and was starting to shoo them away when the big one saw what was going on. And Grandpa was not happy. He was not happy.
He was stealing his bitches.
Yep, that's exactly what was happening. So he ran them off. I mean, they didn't get into the horn-to-horn thing. And it's a good thing because Grandpa had a rack that was huge. And but he ran him off, and that guy was out of there. And he looked so forlorn. He was standing in the middle of the field, bugling, crying, looking so sad. He was so close. He was so close to having his own girls.
Oh.
He didn't. And then we saw same group the next couple of days. We kept seeing them. And that same loner bull was still standing off in the field, far away, waiting his turn. he was so unhappy. But Grandpa wasn't having none of it. He was keeping charge of everything. We saw a ton of deer, a ton of elk. There's more elk in town, I think, than anything else. But we got to do a ride. I wanted to mention this before we get to our first guest. We did a off-road ride. We wanted to do one of those. It's like a modified super Jeep. And that was a blast. We met a guy named Dave. He was our guide. And it turned out that we were the only two. This happens to us everywhere we go. We book these things, and the two groups that went out before us were full, and we were the only two. So we were supposed to be out for 3 hours. He kept us out for 4 hours, and we were at the top of Lookout Mountain, where you can see every direction. And it was just absolutely beautiful up there. And he just spent a lot of time telling us about all of the aspen trees and how they work and all that stuff. But it was an absolute blast. And he is a character. You know how you and we, when we go on vacation, always find the character and get an interview? Well, Dave's going to come on the show because he is a character. So we did find our character to get on for an interview. He didn't have time at the end of the ride because he kept us over by an hour and was afraid to get fired. So he didn't have time to do the interview then because he had to take another one right out. But we're going to get him on the show. We're going to talk to Dave. He's a very interesting guy. And is a good storyteller. So we'll get him on. But he was one of the highlights of the trip. And that off-roading we did was a lot of fun, too. That was really cool.
That's awesome.
Really cool. It was a fun trip. Well, we're going to talk more about what you were up to, and also I know you have a lucky update. We have to talk about the Mustangs later in the show, but we have our first guest. We have to get right back to work here. We have, most artists work their entire lives perfecting their art and then become famous after they die. Our next guest doesn't want to wait that long. She doesn't have time for that. She has won various championships, reserve championships, best in show awards for her art. She has currently exhibited her art at the Garden State Horse Show, at Centenary College Equine Center, at the Equus Film Festival in New York City. She also contributes articles to Horse Nation, Our Friends, and to Equa News International. And get this, she's only 15 years old. I want to welcome Shia Beth to the show today. Good morning, Shia.
Good morning, Glenn. How are you? Thank you so much for having me on the show.
No problem. Now, what I said is true. Most artists, wait a long time to get this all done. You just don't have time for that. You're just diving right into the deep end right away.
Yeah.
Let's talk first, before we get to your art, let's talk about your training in off-the-track thoroughbred. What's up with that?
Well, 2 years ago, I got Maddie, Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal, an off-track thoroughbred from Florida. And I'm training him to jump.
Oh, cool. And how's it going?
It's going really well. We're taking it slow. He's a really good boy. He loves to play around and goof off and play around with his Shetland pony friend.
And I did see that you have some ponies, too. Did you start with ponies?
Yes. I was riding on my Shetland pony before I could walk on a basket saddle. And I've rode him. And when I got too big for him, I started to drive him. And then I got a Haflinger pony who is going to go to an auction. And our friend saved her from going to the slaughter, and then we got her.
How is the Haflinger? They can be a handful.
Yeah, she can be, but she's a really good pony. I love her.
And a donkey, too?
Yes.
Well, how'd the
Winston, he's always...
Winston?
He's always laughing. Winston, yes.
I love that name for a donkey. And do you do anything with the donkey? Do you drive the donkey?
No, he doesn't drive, but we are planning to teach him to paint. He loves to hold things in his mouth, so we think that would be a really funny thing to do.
Cool. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
Well, now, where did the art start? Did you grow up with a crayon in your mouth like the donkey, or what happened?
Yeah, my mom is an artist, and I think I got my art from her, but I always had a pencil or a paintbrush or something in my hand, and I always loved drawing ponies and everything, and I made carousels out of hobby horses when I was a couple years ago, and then I started making life-size equine sculptures 2 years ago.
So, and these are life-size. I've seen pictures of you with them, and they're huge. I mean, they're horse-sized sculptures. What made you dive into that? That's a long way from drawing ponies.
Yeah. Well, 2 years ago, when I said I was making carousels, and I wanted to create something different and unique, so I created my first life-size sculpture, Floor, out of hundreds of paper flowers. That took months to create. I cut and painted small squares and folded them and then cut them again and created hundreds of flowers that I then glued onto paper that I covered a life-size horse made out of chicken wire and wood.
And is that what led to the Blue Jean Horse Project?
Yes. 2 years ago, after I made Floor, I was trying to think of a new way to make something, horse sculpture, and I always had jeans, and I thought it would be kind of cool to create a horse covered in blue jeans.
And it is. That's what it is. And I was wondering, where the heck did you get that idea?
It just came to me. I thought it was a really unique idea, and I made the horse the same way I made Floor, and then I took blue jeans and I cut strips of them and frayed the edges and then glued them or sewed them all together and put them on top of the horse.
And now this is becoming a thing. Tell us what's happening with the Blue Jean Horse Project.
I'm creating 18 life-size equine sculptures of horses representing different breeds and disciplines like show jumping, racing, dressage, reining, as well as a Frisian, Shetland pony, and mythological horses like a Pegasus and a unicorn and a Trojan horse. And each sculpture will be brought to different horse shows and will be signed by riders and trainers and show officials, and then they will be auctioned off to benefit horse charities.
That's very cool. That is very cool. And the frames underneath the jeans, the cut of jeans, the frames are made out, are they wire?
They're made out of wood, recycled
okay.
wood that I have, and then they're covered in chicken wire.
Oh, very cool.
Which is then it's covered in paper, and then they're sewed onto that.
I saw the jumper one, and that, I mean, it's so realistic. You did a great job with it.
Thank you.
And I love the fact that you found is it a blue jean saddle? Did you cover the saddle in blue jeans?
Yes, it's a real saddle, one of the saddles we have, and I covered it completely in blue jeans.
It's very cool. That's very cool. So now, are these going to tour? Is that the goal?
Yes. So the different ones will go to respective shows, and they'll be signed by riders and trainers. And I'm also making films for each horse that will be include interviews with some of the people that sign the horses.
That's so neat. Now, let me remind everybody that you're 15 years old. So congratulations to you for not waiting and for getting things done. This is very cool. If people want to see the Blue Jean Horse Project, they can find it at thebluejeanhorseproject.com. That's the website. And I'm assuming you have a Facebook page, too.
Yes, I have a Facebook page for the Flying Shetlands, which is for both the Blue Jean Project and the Flying Shetlands. You just go on and on the Flying Shetlands, .wordpress.com, and you can find the Facebook page on the sidebar.
All right, and we'll put links to that in our show notes as well. Shaya, thank you so much for joining us, and congratulations on this project. I can't wait to see one of them in person. Will I get to sign it if I see one of them in person?
Sure, yeah, I'd love to have you both sign it.
All right, great. Well, we'll
don't let him ruin it.
No.
Well, we'll look forward to seeing them. Maybe they'll make their way down to Wellington this winter, and we can find one of them down there. But thank you so much, Shaya, for joining us. We appreciate it. It's the BlueJeanHorseProject.com. Good job, girl.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, don't you hate people that have talent?
Yeah, but see, like, just realize that I now decided I'm going to homeschool Lucas. Wait, no, I'm not.
Yeah, I don't see that happening.
No, I'm not.
God, she's well spoken. She obviously has talent. Her art is great, and she's training horses. I mean, she's living every 15-year-old's dream right there.
I know. It's awesome.
So now you've had some things happen over the week. What was going on with you?
Oh my gosh, let's see. We, just to get caught up, we had the baby. I went and saw a movie last night.
Yeah.
And I went and saw Bad Moms.
You probably related to that one.
Oh my gosh. Well, here's what's funny is that my girlfriend and I went with, there's one girl in the movie who was like crazy out there, like really kind of talks dirty. She's very much, she kind of is the epitome of a bad mom, and they kind of model themselves kind of after her, really. And I said to my friend Kristen, I go, I need a friend like that. I'd be a fun friend to have. And she goes, you know, if you don't have a friend like that, it's probably you. Oh, dang. Oh, my God. You're right. I'm that girl to you. So it was really funny movie, though. And they make men look like idiots, of course. It's definitely a chick flick, for sure. But very entertaining. And I even had friends go see it that aren't moms, and they liked it, too. So very funny. Very funny movie. Anyway, so I did that, and my husband's gone. He's flying around the world somewhere. I don't even know. I think he's in Boston right now. I can't even keep up. And, I've just been riding horses. Lessons are back in full swing. It's only about 100 degrees at 4, so everybody's getting out of school and coming to ride.
It's cooling off. It's cooling off in Arizona. It's only 100 now.
It's so breezy and lovely. It's only 100.
It's getting better. Well,
it's better. I did go to Flagstaff Farms, by the way.
Yes, I wanted to ask you about that with your dad.
It was wonderful. Those guys are just so, so amazing out there. So I did what's called the Night of Inspiration, and it's Monty who does a demo, and actually Pat was involved in the demo too. He did a starter horse, and then he and Pat herded a cow in their 50-foot round pen and cut a cow in this tiny little round pen. I mean, 50 foot big, but not when you're two people riding horses cutting cows. So it was really cool, and she's just so amazing. And then you go up to their house for dinner, and you have a catered dinner, and then Monty gives a speech. And we went early in the afternoon, and I got to practice a little of the round pinning and line driving and stuff that I'm trying to get, you know, certified to be a trainer. And so I got to practice a little bit, and my dad is watching me. And he was up talking to Monty, and he didn't want to come down and watch me. But they convinced him to come down and watch me work this horse. And I put the horse through a join up, and then a follow-up, and a long lining, and it went really well, and it was one of the Mustangs from my class last year. So it was really cool to be working with this Mustang named Skinny, and it was really fun. And then Monty goes, and he does a join-up and a long lining, and I'm sitting next to my dad, and my dad goes, well, look at that. He just turned that horse by using his butt, and the horse is following him now. I was like, Dad, I just did this. Literally 10 minutes ago, right over there, your daughter did this. No clue. Like, you could just tell he was, I mean, they say kids are always staring at their phone. I think he was just staring at his phone. Like, when can I go talk movies with Monty again? Because my dad knows Monty, but not from horse training, because my dad is a cowboy movie junkie. And that's all they did all day, was sit around and talk about old actors and cowboy movies. And oh my gosh, it was just, I was bored. Debbie and I were bored listening to him, but bless their hearts, they just...
He was geeking out.
He was, because my dad in his 20s worked at Universal Studios. That was like his rebel phase. It's like, I'm moving to California. And then he was like a tour guide at the studios. That was his big acting career. So it was really fun to see him and Monty just sit down and geek out about old actors that I've never heard of. And it was really fun. But again, like, Dad, I just did this. This is me. Like, 5 minutes, no, it didn't matter. He didn't see me do it. It was amazing when Monty did it, though. And then there's a catered dinner, and Monty gives a speech, and they talk to her. He talks for an hour or so, and then you get
everybody gets to hang out with them. So it's really, really a fun night. If you guys ever get to go to one of those, definitely do it. It's not very expensive. And, you know, it's like the price of a really nice dinner and show, you know, pretty much. So Night of Inspiration, really cool.
Well, your sound is not great. You're coming in and out a lot. Where's your computer at here, time-wise?
We are at 71%, Glenn.
Yay.
71%.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. We will be at 100% exactly at the end of the show.
Exactly.
I know. This is...
Well, let's talk a little bit about happened also while we were gone. Of course, the Paralympics were going on in Rio, and Great Britain once again basically wrapped things up. They won several individual tests and went on to win the team competition as well. They won the overall championships in the para competition, which of course is dressage. They do dressage. They have won every Paralympic team competition since the sport was introduced to the Games in Atlanta in 1996, and remain undefeated in the European and World Championships too, with a total of 18 team titles. You heard me right. They've never lost. So Great Britain just owns Paralympics. The team made up of Sophie Christensen, who actually won two gold medals, Anne Dunham, Natasha Baker, and Sophie Wells. They had a combined score of 453 to finish 20 points ahead of Germany, who was in silver, and the Netherlands came in third. So that's what happened over at the Paras. I know the United States team all had a great time. I was watching their posts, and it seemed like they were having a great time over there as well. But congratulations to all the gold medalists there at the Paralympics. They had it on. I was so flattered, actually. I was so excited to see this. We had out a lot because we were on vacation, and they had it on a lot of the TV sets at a lot of the restaurants we were at. And it kind of surprised me a little bit, but I was so happy to see it because I didn't expect to see it. You know, I didn't think they would give them any coverage, but they did have it on a lot of the TV sets and a lot of the restaurants and the bars and stuff that we were at. So it was very cool. That was neat.
The track and field portion is amazing. I watched one of the races, and a lot of these guys are blind, and they do, I think I watched like the 100-yard dash or something. And they all have a guide runner that runs with them. And it was just absolutely, I mean, if you don't find inspiration in that, what do you find inspiration in? It's just awesome.
Very cool. Well, Jennifer, let's talk a little bit about one of our sponsors for a minute, and that is Dr. Rose's. You know, Dr. Rose's Remedies, if you guys don't have any Dr. Rose's Remedies in your barn, then you're not doing something right. You should have some Dr. Rose's Remedies in your barn. And Jennifer, you've been using it for a long time now for various issues that we've had here. In Florida, we get all kinds of crap. The horses always get weird stuff. So what have we used it for here in Florida?
Well, most prominently, we Scooter, longtime listeners know that Scooter has four white socks. White socks on horses make them much, much more prone to dew poisoning and scratches than dark-colored legs. And what we do with Scooter is we keep a bottle of the Dr. Rose's Remedies spray out in the barn all the time. And as soon as his little ankles start to show a little bit of pink, because what happens when they get the scratches, their ankles or their pasterns will get just a tiny little bit pink first. And then the next day, boom, scratches. And then it's a big mess. So as soon as they show any signs of pinkness, we just spray some of that on, rub it in 2 days, and then it's gone. We're 100%. So we haven't had scratches on Scooter's ankles in years. And I've also found that it's very useful because Nigel, being the klutz that he is, thinks it's a lot of fun to stick his face into thickets and branches and brambles to scratch the itches. We have a lot of bugs. Everybody's itchy all the time. But he has this thing. He can't rub his face on his knee like a normal horse. He has to rub his face on pokey things. He's constantly cutting his face. And the hair on his face is very, 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 very fine. It's almost like velvet. And most products that you put on boo-boos also blister off the hair because they're oil-based and they gunk up the pores and then the hair falls out and his face just looks terrible. But I can use the Dr. Rose's Remedies spray. I just spray a little bit of it on my finger and rubbing it onto the boo-boos, and I can keep the boo-boos clean and soft and let the hair grow back without matting it and making a big, gooey, gross mess. So there you go. Ankles, pasterns, faces. Dr. Rose's.
DrRose'sRemedies.com is where you can find it. It comes in spray and as well as a gel. You can check out all the different options on the website there and tell them when you place your order that you found them. You heard about it on Horses in the Morning. And you can also find it at most tack shops across the country as well. Well, it was, I did see, and I thought you were going to mention this, I did see that you spent a little time in the ER yourself. But not for you this time.
I know. So Saturday morning, Mama's going to sleep in. Daddy, take the kid. I'm sleeping in. Yeah. I think I slept 10 minutes. And I heard the thump. And then the follow-up cry. And I thought, okay, I'm just going to lay here. And then all of a sudden I heard the high-pitched cry. And all of a sudden, Chad, once I heard the high-pitched cry, I started to get out of bed. And at that time, Chad opens the door and he's like, get up! Get up! And I see him holding my child. You've not lived until you have woken up in the morning with your husband running into your bedroom holding a child that is squirting blood. Blood is spraying everywhere. Oh my gosh, it was terrifying. So, Lucas and Daddy were playing, and they decided to make a fort. And they made fort out of couch cushions. And they were jumping from couch cushion to couch cushion. And then all of a sudden, the couch cushion slid, and Lucas face planted on the corner of the coffee table, which used to have padding, but has, in the 3 years that he's been alive, has gone away. So he hit the corner of the coffee table, split his eye, like above his eye, split it open. And you know those face wounds just bleed like crazy.
Yeah, faces do bleed, yeah.
Blood is squirting everywhere. And so, of course, I'm like, oh my God, you know. So we jump in the car and we rush to the first urgent care. And they're like, okay, have a seat. Because the story is not the wound. The story is the treatment that we received. And so the first, she's like, have a seat. I'm like, we're squirting blood everywhere. Because at this point, it's still bleeding. And I'm like holding, you know, the compress over it. And he's crying. And she's like, okay, here's the papers. I'm like, hello. And so I realize after sitting there for like 4 minutes and getting covered in blood in the waiting room, that they're going to take their sweet time. So I walked up to the desk and I'm like, Chad, we're leaving and where should we go? What's the next place? Because she was like, oh, we don't. I said, he just needs a butterfly stitch. And she's like, oh, we don't do that. We just stitch things. I was like, you're not stitching this. We need something else. And quick. So we go, she sends us to a second place, which she gives us the wrong directions. Of course, I Googled it in my phone, so I knew it was the wrong directions. And it was closed. So we're like, heading to place number three. Again, my child is still bleeding. And I had a mama bear moment.
Oh, no.
Like, okay, let's go to the third place. And I was like, okay, hold on. I'm going to step out of the car for just a second. And I call at the second place that's closed. I call. And I was like, hi. Yeah, we just left your place. And, you know, with my bleeding child. And she's like, yeah. And I go, oh, well, I can't repeat what I said. Because I kind of lost control. And I basically said something to the effect of, I hope you get in a car accident on the way home, you horrible. and there was lots of bad words, which is why I stepped out of the car. And the lady proceeded to hang up on me, which probably was a good idea, because I said some things that
it was not going anywhere. Yeah.
It was not going to go well for her. And I was like, you sent us to the wrong place. And it's closed. And I hope you die in a car accident. I said, I hope you get a car accident on the way home and cut your face open. And nobody takes care of you. Anyway, so we went to the third place. And I walk in with said bleeding child. And as soon as they see us, the lady picks up the phone. She's like, I need triage. So he gets rushed back. We were done in this urgent care. By the time we had actually finished up the paperwork, we were already done. It was amazing. So my child now has a Paw Patrol Band-Aid covering half his face. They ended up having to glue the laceration together because I guess it was like clean lines because it was just like a slice. And yeah, that's a fun Saturday morning when mommy gets to sleep in.
He's a man now. He got in his first bar fight. He's got a shiner.
Bar fight. He lost his first bar fight. Oh my gosh, but you have it. When you wake up to that, oh my gosh, what a nightmare. So we rush, you know, home because at this point, my entire house is, number one, there's blood all over our white carpet on the floor, off white carpet, and there's couch cushions everywhere. They've destroyed my entire living room. And we get home and Chad's like, I gotta go. Are you serious? He's like, I have to go catch a flight. I was like, you are in big trouble. And then he just has to go. And so I'm like left with this complete mess disaster. I'm like, I'm never sleeping again. I can't. It's terrible.
Your first one. See, now, if that was your third child, you'd have said, drive yourself to the hospital. Oh, you can take care.
I'd have been like, give me the super glue.
Yeah, that's right. I can take care.
I'll do it myself. It'd
have been a whole different story. Hey, your sound is still really, really bad. So why don't you, I'll take Dr. Chang, and why don't you bail out here until that computer's ready? But you're coming in and out so bad we can hardly hear you.
Okay, sorry. Yeah. I even walked outside.
I know.
It's still, at the Mustang.
It's still not great. So let me know when you're ready, and we'll get you back on.
Okay, it's all your fault. It's not that long. My computer's updating.
My fault. All right, talk to you in a minute.
Bye.
All right, we'll get her back as soon as we get a better connection there. As soon as her computer's done updating, she can get back on her microphone. But next up, we have to talk to Dr. Chang. Of course, Dr. Chang is Omega Alpha Equine, and I know Omega Alpha Equine sponsors lots of things at the Colorado Horse Park where we were on Saturday. Hi, Dr. Chang.
Hi there, Glenn. I mean, no offense to you, but I love talking to Jamie, too, you know.
I know, but your sound on your cell phone's a little better than hers was. We can barely hear her coming in and out. Her computer is updating, and it's been updating for the last hour and a half. So
That's so terrible.
That's what happens the first day after vacation. That kind of thing always happens to us. Where are you at? I hear you're at a show.
I'm at a pet industry trade show. It's for the pet industry in Canada. So it's in Toronto.
Oh, cool!
So I'm here for the day, and I was saying to Jennifer earlier on. I think we've done this one remote before.
Oh, okay. Cool. You know, we got to go to the big pet show down here in Orlando, and it's huge. The Pet Expo. It's the wholesale retail trade show, and I never knew there were that many different kinds of dog toys and dog food. There are 1,000 kinds of dog toys and dog food. It was just amazing. It was a huge place. Is it like that up there too?
Yes, it is, but it's nowhere as big as that show, though. Because to be fair, as you very well know, I mean, whatever we have here, small. It's usually 10 times the size in the States, just because it's a bigger population, bigger industry, bigger everything.
Yeah, just amazing, though, what kind of things you see that you didn't even know existed for pets.
For sure.
But yeah, and we were out at the Colorado Horse Park, and they announced many times over the loudspeaker that they were jumping the Omega Alpha jump, so that was kind of cool to hear out there.
Oh.
That was fun.
We're making inroads in there.
Yeah, yeah. And what a beautiful place that is, too. The whole state of Colorado is beautiful. Now, today...
You're ahead of me on that one. I haven't made it out there yet.
Oh, you have to. Oh, you have to see the Rocky Mountains. You have to get in the Rocky Mountains and do some hiking. It was absolutely wonderful. But today we're talking about senior health, and I got to tell you, I felt like a senior when hiking in the Rocky Mountains, to be honest with you. But then we're talking about horses' senior health. So what are we chatting about today?
Yeah, well, usually when I talk about horses, senior health, I mean, horses are like people. As we get older, we all suffer from the same thing. So we have digestive issues, right? We have low energy issues.
Yep, we have that.
we have, for the horses anyway, they have issues with their teeth, right? So they have nutritional issues too. right? And a lot of horses sometimes, because of bad teeth, don't get as much nutrition into them as they should be getting. Then they also have issues with joints, right? Joint pains and so on, as our more senior people would notice. You know, I was thinking to myself the other day, I'm creeping up there. The other day, I was working on my elliptical and my knees started to hurt. And I was thinking to myself, holy smokes, I'm too young for this to start happening, right?
I was in the hospital before vacation for 2 days thinking I was having a heart attack. So I get it. I get it.
No, so, yeah, so being a senior horse, you have lots of challenges, right? I think one of the biggest challenges, as the horses get older, again, especially if they were performance horses in their past lives, they have the issues of the joint pains. Because those, you know, if you're a show jumper, eventer, even a dressage, they all end up suffering from joint issues. So, you know, one of the things you can do for a senior horse with joint issues is always to make them comfortable. You can't do a knee replacement or anything like that for a horse, not yet anyway. So at this point, you know, the best you can do is to make them comfortable. And I know a lot of people use things like glucosamine, etc., and some of them throw in chondroitin. Well, the thing about glucosamine and chondroitin, what really causes the pain for joints is really the inflammation. Glucosamine is a raw material that's used in helping to rebuild joints, right? Chondroitin, I know people use as a source of material to rebuild joints, but chondroitin, the studies that I've seen have shown that chondroitin for horses is very difficult to absorb. You're probably not getting much absorption. If you get 1 to 2%, you're laughing. So if you imagine you give them 1,000 milligrams of chondroitin, 1 to 2% is 10 milligrams. 10 to 20 milligrams. You're really not getting much. And chondroitin is usually absorbed when it gets broken down to glucosamine or to galactosamine. Again, if you increase your glucosamine intake, you'll cover your chondroitin absorption easily. And chondroitin makes things expensive. But the key for joint pain for any animals, people included, is to control the inflammation component. And so that's what we did at Omega Alpha. We realized that from day one. So in our product, Sinurex, we added anti-inflammatory herbs, or herbs that have anti-inflammatory effects. And because of that, people see results a lot quicker. You see a horse that's a lot more comfortable a lot quicker. You don't have to give it to the horse for about 3 months before you figure out it's working or it's not working. Usually, within the space of about a week, you will notice whether it's working or not. And so that's how we would address that.
And these kind of products are interesting because they do start working, but you're seeing your horse every day, so for you it's kind of gradual. But then if you stop using it, then you really see how much that a product like this was working, like the Sinuax. So that helps with the joints. And what other things do we look for in the senior horses?
Nutritional issues, because a lot of horses have their teeth are worn down, and one of the biggest problems with that is that they can't chew the food like they used to, and because they can't chew the food like they used to, a lot of that nutrition doesn't get absorbed. So what by that I mean, simple as extra vitamins, you know, your B vitamins, right? Even getting enough minerals into your horse, that you don't get that. So it's a good idea to supplement some of those things, right? Now, to be fair, you can buy some horse feed that are enriched with some of the vitamins and the minerals. So that's another way of getting it. And last but not least, I would say get an equine dentist and sometimes take a look at the horse's teeth, right? And, you know, because you see a lot of older horses are skinny too, right?
Right.
And also, another thing you should also check out with the older horses too is probiotics. Probiotics will help the horse with the nutritional side of it, because unlike humans, the bacteria in the hindgut of the horses are the actual things that help the horses digest a lot of the things like the grasses and so on that they eat, all right? A lot of that cellulose material is digested by the bacteria. The bacteria gets a piece and they give a much bigger piece back to the horse. All right. So those things help in a major fashion for the horse's health.
And so which products would you recommend there?
I that would be our Bioticate product as a source of probiotics. And then for the vitamin mineral side, I would give them the Minerac product, right, for them, right? And last thing but not least, what we see with horses, also senior horses, is low energy. They don't seem to have the energy to do anything. So one of the things, a little bit of our Endurogen product on a daily basis would also make a major difference in the horse. What you see, you'll see a horse that is a lot more energetic. I've been told by some people who use it for their horses that when they use the Endurogen on their horse, the senior horse starts to behave like a young horse again. So it makes a huge difference as far as the energy levels go.
I need some of that. Could you send some of that over for me?
I'll send some. For human use, products like this do seem to help with the libido too.
Great. Jennifer's happy to hear that. I do have a question from a listener, if you don't mind. She just dropped me a note and said, could you please ask Dr. Chang to compare Sinuex to Anti-Flam, both Omega Alpha products? Where is one recommended over the other?
Okay. The Anti-Flam has much more anti-inflammatory effect than the Sinuex. The Sinuex has the glucosamine in it, but the anti-inflammatory effect is not as strong as the Anti-Flam. Now, sometimes if the joint pain, if you see swelling and there's a lot more pain, it depends on how bad it is. You add a little bit of Anti-Flam to the product mix, right? To what you give to your horse. Now, somebody's going to ask me, well, why don't we just up the amount of anti-inflammatory herbs in the Sinuex, right? So we don't need to use the Anti-Flam.
Right.
Well, the problem with that is that there's only so much stuff you can put into an ounce of liquid, right? So that is a rationale.
Okay. Got it. Very good. Well, we appreciate you stopping by. We talked about Sinuex, Biotic 8, the Minerac, and also the Endurogen. You can find all of those at omegaalphaequine.com. And I understand that there's another webinar coming up on September the 26th. That's on alternative approaches, and it's a guest speaker. It's not you this time, right?
I believe so.
Yeah, and that's you can register. Call the main office at 800-651-3172 and ask for Joanne Carr or email Joanne at jcarr@omegaalpha.ca. That's omegaalpha.ca to reserve your space or to get the codes to actually join the webinar. If you want to see past webinars on the website, just go to omegaalphaequine.com and click on the education tab, and that's where you can find all the past webinars. Well, we're going to let you get back to the pets.
Thank you, and you have a good day.
All right. Thanks, Dr. Chang. Talk to you soon.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Well, while we're waiting, Jamie Sal says she's at about 90. I think she should probably be at almost 100% now. So let's take a break for our song. Hopefully we'll get Jamie back. We have Leslie back. She hasn't been here in a long time. Leslie from Horse Nation will be back here chatting. And she has a special birthday coming up she's going to talk about too, and as well as a couple of the articles from Horse Nation. Plus, we still have to talk about the whole Mustang issue and Jennifer and I's theory on that all right after this song from Jared Rogerson called Let's Ride.
So you want a guy who won't try to move too fast. Oh girl, it'd be a shame to take this slow. I've got an extra saddle, and I know that you can handle the stallion waiting right down the road. We can run above hooves and crash like thunder, as fast as lightning flashing in our eyes. I think you know the spell you got me under. Let's ride. We can ride to the head of the canyon, from the desert blossoms down below. the aspen and the sage, to the pine trees in the shade, we'll pine. Baby, let's ride. I suppose I could be entertained just sitting here watching you, watching them just try to take you home. With all these guys surrounding you, like flies you ought to swat a few. If you wanna be alone, let's go. We can run above hooves and crash like thunder, fast and lightning flashing in our eyes. I think you know the spell, you got me under, let's ride. We can ride to the head of the canyon, from the desert blossoms down below, through the aspen and the sage, to the pine trees in the shade, we'll pine. Baby, let's ride. If the thrill of the adventure takes your breath away, if you're caught up with emotion that you can't explain away, you can kiss me on the cheek and I will hold your hand. If it leads to something more, I will understand. Let's run above hooves and crash like thunder, fast as lightning flashing in our eyes. I think you know the spell, you got me under, let's ride. We can ride to the head of the canyon, from the desert blossoms down below, through the aspen and the sage, to the pine trees in the shade, we'll pine.
That's Jared Rogerson with Let's Ride. You can find all of his music at jaredrogerson.com. Well, I think we have Jamie back. Jamie, are you back?
Am I here? Can you
hear
me?
Oh, that's much better. Thank
you. 2 hours it took to update. Jeez. 2 hours.
If you had to go to work and you were sitting there, what would you do for 2 hours?
Well, I did have to go to work.
That's true. That's true.
You bought me this crappy computer, so it's your fault.
But now we know you need to turn it on the day before we come back from vacation now. Let's see if we can get Leslie back. We've been trying to get her on here, too.
It's been
the first day back from vacation for sure. All right. Let's see if Leslie pops in. I don't know if she's going to show up or not. We might end up having to call her at her cell phone.
If she doesn't, I'll give you a story because it's been such a crappy show so far.
All right. You give us a story. I'll try and call Leslie at her cell.
Okay.
Let's see if that...
No, you're going to have to hear this story. So
okay, go ahead. You can... I'm listening.
Jennifer?
I'm listening.
Have you ever rectaled a horse?
Ever what?
Yeah, you heard me. Have you ever rectaled a horse?
No.
Okay, so I wasn't supposed to say anything, and you can't post this about Facebook, but anybody who has suffered through this entire mess of a show gets this story. Okay, you get it. But you won't get it, but you're going to get to hear it. So when we were doing the ultrasound on the baby... Mm-hmm. This mare is such a pro. She's had 5 babies. She's like this amazing broodmare. Literally, you call her, like, time for your ultrasound, and she will walk up and turn around and back up to the door. She's like that good. So my vet was ultrasounding, and she's like, oh my gosh, this thing is like kicking like crazy. It's moving around so much. Uh-oh.
That's okay. You're just good. You're hearing me
and
call.
And she's like, do you want to, she goes, how brave are you? I was like, are you asking me if I want to feel my baby? And she's like, yes. So I gloved up. Jennifer, yeah. I put on a big sleeve, and she taught me how to do the thing. And I actually reached in and felt the baby, and I pet the baby on the head. Okay, so here's the
I'm not sure if that's cool or creepy. I'm not sure which.
Well, here's the thing. The beautiful part is I pet my baby, and I, like, felt its legs, its knees, and its head, and I was like, oh, my gosh, I'm petting the forehead. She's like, that's the forehead right there. And then I realized my arm's up a horse butt. Like, there's something really beautiful and really, really disgusting that went on.
And
I felt amazing and I felt really dirty at the same time. I don't know how vets just, like, do that all the time. First of all, it's incredibly hot in there. Like, really hot. Like, here. And she also told me, don't tell anybody. And I was like, who am I going to tell? I don't know. You guys? So, yeah, I got to feel my baby. It was so cool. So don't post anything on Facebook about this. But I feel like anybody who has suffered through this hour of mess, they deserve a nugget. So I'm giving you a nugget. I rectally palpated a horse and reached down and felt my baby on the head.
And to that, we welcome Leslie. Aren't you glad you joined us today?
I miss you guys.
Isn't that so cool, Leslie? And gross at the same time? But it was cool. I'm like, I pet my baby on the head today. Yeah, I did. It's not due for 4 months, but, like, whatever.
Welcome back, Leslie. It seems like 20 years since we've had you on.
I know. Hey, guess what? It's National Equine Veterinarian Week.
Is it?
You got that on.
I didn't know.
I thought you were going to say how it's National Talk Like a Pirate Day. Because it's that, too.
Is it really?
I think so.
So you have to do the whole interview talking like a pirate, Leslie. It's required now.
No.
We have to do something to pick this show up. We've had problems all morning. So it's up to you to save us today. No pressure.
I think Jamie's story about the rectal palpation just... I don't know. It either saved it or
crashed and burned. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, what are you guys doing for National Vet Week? Because clearly my horse Doc rocks and you guys are doing a contest.
Oh, man. I have so much gratitude in my heart for my vets for putting up with me. I really do. Like last week I brought, you know, I brought my horses in, and nothing really wrong with Esprit. Esprit's just gotten really chubby, real chubby. And so, of course, my first line of thought is he has a tumor on his pituitary gland. Like, this is where my head goes. Like, I'm that horse owner.
He's got Cushing's disease. Boom.
He has Cushing's. You know, something has gone catastrophically wrong with his metabolism. And, you know, my vet just kind of looks at me and he's like...
Wait a minute. Your horse gets fat and that's the first thing you think of? The first thing that happens in our household when one of our horses get fat is Jennifer blames me for feeding him too much. That didn't go through your mind that you might be feeding him too much?
Well, he gets like a handful of grain every day. But yeah, the vet was just like, talk me down off of the ledge like he has a million times before. And was like, luckily... You remember, so what's different about this horse since the last time you brought him in? I'm like, well, he's retired. It's like, do you remember how much you worked the crap out of this horse when he was an upper level of that horse? Of course, you know, he's like put on some weight since then. Like, it is not a pituitary or thyroid tumor. I'm like, we use palpate as spurlatch anyway. I feel a lump. And he's like, nope. No lump.
Isn't it amazing?
Get him a muzzle.
You are that horse owner.
Bless them for putting up with us.
You are that horse owner.
Because I will Google myself into a, you know, like I will self-diagnose, you know, and of course it's always like worst case scenario. Always. And I drag him in to the vet and I've got tears in my eyes and, you know, and every time it's most times it's not that serious. So.
Do you think that veterinarians and doctors just want to blow up Google? They just want to blow up the internet because they hear that 20 times a day. I Googled it. I think it's this. You know, every day, all day.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, I read somewhere, maybe you need some more, you know, maybe he has a selenium deficiency in his diet, blah, blah, blah. Or, you know.
You know who does love people like us, Leslie? The supplement companies.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. No kidding.
And the feed companies, because I'm like, oh my God. Okay. So he's getting a little fat. I think I need to, let me Google this. Hold on. Okay. We need to go buy the starch free grain and I need to supplement him with a multivitamin. Hold on. Let me Google. Okay. I need the multivitamin, this multivitamin that I'm going to get. And wait, hold on. I need, wait a second. I need to walk him 45 minutes a day, but like, I don't have time to do it. So I mean, you know, his shoes aren't going to last. So I need the boots. I need the walking boots. And then I'm going to go have to walk him 45 minutes. And then like, wait a second. I need new shoes too. Let me go back to Smart Pack and get some new boots because I'm clearly need something with a good heel and sole support. And then, oh my God, wait a second. You know, while I'm walking him, I've noticed that his tail is like tangled. Hold on. I need to go back to Google and find the best detangler. Hold on. Thank God for Amazon and PayPal. PayPal is my best friend. I just hit click and it's a bot.
Right. Somebody's making a killing.
Speaking of buying things, I noticed that you guys, like us, were big supporters of International Helmet Awareness Day on Saturday. And I noticed a lot of our listeners posted that they got new helmets. We happened to be out in Colorado, and we went to a horse show on Saturday at the Colorado Horse Park, which happens to be 5 minutes away from the Dover store. So guess who dragged me to the Dover store? And the Dover store must have had, they had more employees working than I've ever seen working at a tax shop in my entire life. There must have been 15. Wow. And they, of course, they had sales on all the helmets and people were looking at helmets. So you guys did an article on that with pictures of you, all of you looking very cute in your helmets. Not you, because you were covered in mud and looking disgusting. But everybody else was looking cute.
That's all right. You can count on me. That's why I was at the bottom of the page. Hoping people won't scroll down that far.
But I know a lot of our listeners must have gone out and get helmets. They were posting, and we just appreciate all the work that Lindsay does, and her helpers do to get. But it's mostly Lindsay to get that all accomplished. She said she posted that the day before she had 25 tax shops sign up. Now, and we need to teach Lindsay about setting deadlines. You know, we need to really, she needs to be tougher. She needs to be more British and less American. So she needs to be tougher and set deadlines. But apparently it went off quite well. There were tons of sales and people were buying helmets like crazy. So congratulations to all of you who did buy helmets. And we're glad that you did. I know some of them were buying them because theirs had run out of time. They had gone past the 5 years and some of them had cracked them and things like that. Jamie, of course, didn't wait for International Helmet Awareness Day for the big sale. She went ahead and bought hers 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, so. I did. But I did have a student, and this is the, I love this kid. So she needs a new helmet. I was like, go on today and get your new helmet. I was like, the Ovation Schooler, it's like $50, you know, and she goes on and she's 10. And then she went on Ovation and instead of buying the $50 one, bought the Z6 Glitz helmet because it had a pink stripe through it. And her mom was super mad. I'll pay the difference, Mom. You're 10. How are you going to get money? It comes from me. It all comes from me. So she ended up buying a new helmet, too. And she shouldn't have seen the Z6 Glitz helmet that Ovation has because it was a little more expensive.
Well, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. What 10-year-olds know about expensive? I love what Amanda said in your article here on Horse Nation. Amanda Ronan said, I wear a helmet because I want my brains to remain inside my skull. Done.
Yes.
That was
enough
it.
Said.
That's it.
I think you could have done nothing else in this article but put that right in. That was it.
Right.
It's all you needed right there.
And Leslie, I did hear that you are spending your birthday the weekend that I've spent my birthday like the last 5 years. And that is by going to a horse trial this weekend.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I am. You know, this like last year I was at the AEC's on my birthday in Texas.
This year, I am going to be at a horse show with my pony, like a little vacation.
What are you doing this weekend with the pony? Are you running training?
We're doing try-on horse trials. Yep, we're going training. And this is our second. This will be our second event together. But I feel good. I feel good. She feels like a tiger, a tiny tiger, ready to pounce.
For those who want to follow Leslie's scores, because I love following your scores online, go to avendingnation.com and they have a link for live scores and you can see try on.
Please do not. Don't
don't encourage that.
Oh, girl, I'm on it. I want to see this little tiny tiger pounce.
Well, hopefully there will be less pilot error than there was last time when, as we recall, I got technically eliminated for jumping the next to last jump on the cross country course, technically twice, because I jumped the jump and the alternate jump. So hopefully I'll get an error on my dressage course this time. I don't know. Anything is possible. I'll find a whole new way to get eliminated.
Aren't you so happy that they don't do live feeds for the smaller shows?
Oh, my goodness.
Leslie Wiley, walk your course at least 3 times, and you have to walk it 1 time all by yourself and not on a cell phone, because I've done that
before.
Not
on a cell phone. Yeah.
Focus, Leslie. Yeah, focus.
That was my problem last time. I really was, like, on my cell phone the whole time, and I only walked it once.
So. See, that's your fault.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Now, what I did hear, if Tryon's anything like the Colorado Horse Park, owned by the same people, and I think it's a little bit like that, a lot of the jumps you can see. So it's not like you're going through windy, twisty places to find your jumps. So that's
This one actually, it's not at the new, the International Equestrian Center. It's at the old Equestrian Center, which is, I've been going to events there since I was...
All right, you're screwed.
A little kid, a little bit of kid.
Yeah, so, you're screwed. Yeah. She'll be lost in the woods. Yeah. They'll be sending out helicopters to find her.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Where's some wood to knock on?
Well, we expect a full update next week, okay?
Okay.
On how that went. And, of course, you can find all the articles over at horsenation.com. We're going to head out of here. We have one more topic we have to talk about now that everything is actually, knock on wood, functioning here on the show. Thank you so much, Leslie, for joining us again. It's good to talk to you.
Have a great week, guys.
Oh, wait a minute. You can't get away without this. Happy birthday.
Oh, Chili. Chili wishes you happy birthday.
Bye. Oh, bye, Leslie.
Bye.
All right, let's talk about this Mustang deal. So while we were gone, apparently the government or somebody, there was all these stories about we're going to kill all the Mustangs that are in holding. 40,000 of them are going to die tomorrow. And that's at least the way the Facebook portrayed it.
Well, I mean, that's sadly not that far off from pretty much what they voted. So the National Wild Horse and Burro Advisory Board, which Ben Masters, right?
Masters, yeah.
From Unbranded, they met last week, and then passed a recommendation that BLM offer all suitable animals and long-term and short-term holding deemed unadoptable for sale without limitation or humane euthanasia. So further, they say those animals deemed unsuitable for sale should be destroyed in the most humane manner possible. So what that says, the recommendation says that pretty much they could deem all of them unadoptable and send them all for sale without limitation. What does that mean?
That means that they'll get sold at auction for $1 and end up in Mexico.
Yeah. And then, but they're supposed to be humanely destroyed is the other part. So neither one of those are humane for wild horses that have been rounded up with helicopters, shipped all over the world, the country, and then locked in these pens. So This board, 7 out of 8 voted.
And this is not BLM people, right? It's a non-BLM board. This is like an advisory board.
Right. They're from both the public and multiple interest group, and their purpose is to discuss key issues and help advise the BLM regarding the management of wild horses on public lands. And the board has visited apparently at least one HMA and realized Ben Master says that here's some of the numbers. Okay. Under protection, wild horse and burro populations have grown an estimated 15 to 20% annually, which required the BLM. They don't have enough AMLs, appropriate management levels, and each herd management area to sustain a balance between the ecosystem, wildlife, vegetation, soil, and water, and, oh, in some cases, livestock. So these numbers that they've come up with are unsubstantiated, but they say there are over 67,000 wild horses, according to census estimates in 2015. 67,000 wild horses. They say that the amount that they can, the appropriate management level should be 26,000. And there's already 45,000 wild horses in short and long-term holding facilities. So 2/3 of the BLM's annual budget supports the holding facilities. Go ahead, bud. Supports 50, it says it's about $50 million is what they spend every year. And you got to start to eventually go, okay, how much are these ranchers and these people in government, how much are they paying these people to graze their cattle and sheep on these lands? It cannot be over $50 million. Maybe it is. I don't know. All the numbers that they have are very secretive, and the BLM is very secretive, and everything is closed, and nobody knows what's going on. But Ben Masters from Unbranded said that, you know, his thing is like, in reality, there's 40,000 excess horses, and then each year, 10 to 12,000 foals are being born, and the project is astronomical. The problem is astronomical, and it's just going to be, they're going to starve to death out there because this cheatgrass is coming in, which was brought in by the sheep, and it's all terrible, and the basically all the range is going to hell, and ecosystems are being destroyed. And he's saying it's not about cattle versus horses. Ecosystems are not two just factors influencing each other. It's soil, water, blah, blah, blah. It's more complex than horses versus cattle. He says he would love to see the cattle removed and take that variable out of the equation. But the delicate desert ecosystems are being destroyed. So the other person, that is, like I said, 7 out of 8 people voted for the basically destroying any horse that the BLM deems destroyable, you know, or unadoptable or whatever. Well, this other lady goes out there, and her name is Ginger Catherines of the Cloud Foundation. And she has spent an estimated 12,000 hours observing and documenting wild horses. And she does not think that this needs to be done. She's like, there are alternatives to manage horses on the range, and they have not been utilized. And the BLM has basically dropped the ball. She says that they were never managing the range. All their censuses are totally wrong. And that herds, according to Dr. Gus Cothran of Texas A&M, who we've had on the show, you have to have at least 150 members of a herd for genetic viability. And the herds are not even near that, because they keep grabbing all of them and putting them in holding pens. What they don't say in this is Ben Masters hasn't pointed out that if you leave the horses out there, they will eventually, you know, they don't just breed and not die. Many of them are, it's survival of the fittest out there. And you take that away when you lock them all in holding pens. So here's what's going on. In my mind's eye, maybe this is what you guys think too. I don't want to think that Ben Masters wants to kill a bunch of horses and all those people want to kill a bunch of horses. But we've had the discussion on the show about the PZP, and that is a dart that they can dart the mares with, and it will shut down their cycle for 1 year. And it has been met with constant lawsuits and criticism, and just people have gone crazy. You can't do this to these horses. You can't. So they're like, okay, if you're not going to let us do that, we're just going to tell you we're going to kill them all. And I feel like they're just trying to scare people so they can get the PZP passed, which, in my opinion, is is the way to do it. I'd rather have the horses living on the range out there with the BLM actually managing the land and them not breeding every single year, and to have a lot less breeding and to be able to protect the range by, you know me, a spay, neuter, geld, let's do this thing. But apparently the PZP vaccine involves a lot of hard work, but it has been proven effective. The prior mountain herd has zero population growth because they've been using the PZP. But BLM thinks that rounding horses with helicopters up is just easier, and the PZP is too much work. So I feel like Ben Masters and his brain decided that I'm going to vote for this and maybe it'll shake everybody up. Is that what you think?
Well, let's first mention that the BLM did come out over the weekend and issued a statement through the director's office that said the agency will continue to care for and attempt to adopt out 45,000 horses and burros. The BLM does not and will not euthanize healthy animals. So they came out and basically said that
healthy animals, but they still get to deem
But they've always done that. I mean, if a horse is injured or whatever, they've always done that. But they basically are coming out and saying they're not. This whole thing's not what they had planned on doing. It was the advisory board. They're not listening to the advisory board. That's what they basically came out and said over the weekend. We think almost what you were thinking. Our thought is, and this is a political thing to do. Presidents do it all the time. Congress does it all the time. You always come out and announce a hugely horrendous thing. And then when the dust clears, you settle for something that will not... In other words, you get everybody all stirred up over the horrendous thing, and then you very quietly do something that's just a little less than that, and it doesn't look as horrendous.
Right. So, and that's what I think they were trying to do with trying to get
ours
the vaccine
is a little different.
Passed.
We think they're going to come out and say, all right, so we're not going to get rid of all 45,000 horses. We'll only get rid of 20,000.
So
that's our theory, is then it doesn't look as bad. The people are not as up in arms. Well, it's not the 45. They're only getting rid of 20 because they have to. So that's what we're thinking, that this is a very political politicians do this all the time. They always announce the worst and then they back off to something a little less, and then people aren't as outraged because, well, it was better than the other. But you have to start announcing the other. So I think maybe it's going to be a little bit. Yours is very viable too, because they have been. I don't know why anybody's giving them crap about the birth control thing.
It's unnatural and it's unreal.
Give me a break. It's either that or we euthanize 45,000 horses.
And see, that's what I think they were trying to do, is like, okay, well, if you're not going to let us kill them all, we're going to do birth control. And then hopefully that will make
people
realize.
We had them on talking about the birth control, and it made perfect sense to us.
Yeah, you know, we didn't have the BLM on because I won't talk to him. But
we had, who was the lady we had on that was discussing this topic? We actually had somebody on recently.
Recently. What's super frustrating, Glenn, is that, you know, Madeline Pickens.
Oh, yeah, this is bad.
She buys millions of acres, like 2 million acres or 1 million acres or something.
It's like 1 million acres. Yep.
And she's like, bring the wild horses to me. I will take care of them. I will make a Mustang monument.
Thousands of them.
We will have, she said it was like 20,000 she was going to have taken to her private land that she was buying and renting from the BLM. And the BLM has blocked her every step of the way. Do you know why? Like, most recently, somebody cut off the water supply and killed a bunch of the horses, which she only has like 20,000 and she or a couple thousand, and she wanted all 20,000. Somebody cut the water supply. They've been cutting fences. But the BLM says that she can't do it because there's no restrooms on the drive-in. So because people can't pee on the road, you can't do it. That was one of the things to stop her from doing the Mustang Monument. It's ridiculous. The torture that she has dealt with in trying to save the planet, basically, and solve the problem is amazing. My son just walked in. Oh, he's walking in the house with a chicken. Oh, my God. Come here.
That's just that kind of day.
What'd you say?
I said that adds to our day. The Madeline Pickens story, they have been...
Which chicken? I want to know which chicken.
Did you just bring the chicken in the house? Yes.
So the BLM, they have been nitpicking her to death. She wanted to make this an eco sanctuary. She has spent millions and millions of dollars. I think $25 million was what she was up to get this done. And she wanted to have it so people could actually drive out and see the horses.
Yeah.
And have it kind of have like a hotel or whatever she was going to do and have a place where they could drive out. Well, they were giving her so much crap. She had to answer 5 pages of questions on the road that would drive out to see the horses. And where there would be handicapped access, where there would be bathrooms, where, you know, what kind of road it would be. It was 5 pages of questions. And this has been going on for years since we had her on the show, which was what, 4 years ago.
When I talked to her, she was trying to be so nice about the BLM. I would love to get her on now to talk about what's going on, because she cannot be nice about them anymore, because they have just been horrible. And that's the thing, is like, if they lose the Mustangs, all these guys lose their jobs because they don't have something to screw up over?
And here's what it comes down to. I'll read the 2 paragraphs in this article. This was from the Las Vegas, because this is happening in Nevada. So this is from LasVegasNow.com. In 2015, the BLM finally tipped its hand when Pickens asked during a meeting what it would take to get the necessary permits to finally get this all done. Bureau staffers issued the following statement. They said, "We've had internal discussions. If you would be willing to surrender your grazing and water rights, we could work with you on the project." In other words, we want to put cattle and everything else on your land too. This is land that she bought, 1 million acres that she bought, and now they're saying, we're not going to give you the horses unless you surrender your grazing and water rights.
Unbelievable.
Which would basically mean she gives up her own property.
Yeah.
That she wants to put the horses government. That are in holding pens. Now, if I was going to argue the other side of this, all right, now let me take the other side in court, all right? You be the other attorney. I'll be on the other side of you and say, all right, now I'm going to be on the advisory board and say, these horses they're in holding pens. They're disgusting. It's not right for them to be in these holding pens in the first place. So yeah, euthanize them all. Mm-hmm. So now if I'm coming from the other side of that in court, I could argue the quality of life. These horses and holding pens do not have a quality of life. So is it better that they live out their lives in these holding pens with no quality of life, or we euthanize them? Or we work with people like Madeline Pickens and stop making it all about politics and give her the horses so they can live out the life that they were supposed to have in the first place.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, Ginger, the woman who voted against the slaughter of all the horses, you know, she says that basically it's just going to take a lot of work on the BLM's part and go in there and to rip up all that invasive grass species, cheat grass, they call it, and plant some more grass and do, you know, take care of the actual range, which is supposed to be what they're doing anyway. But all they do is spend their time figuring out how to kill all these horses. It's just, I'll tell you what. Okay, bud, I'll be right with you. He said, I have poop. one thing, you know, I was online all weekend looking at horses for adoption. That's all I did. I was like, I don't need another Mustang, but I feel like I have to do something. And oh, the internet, that they do internet adoptions. And do you know, after they don't get adopted twice, they can just be given away. And so they use these internet adoptions to say, well, we offered them for adoption. Well, the internet adoption was closed and certain places don't even offer internet adoptions. And, oh, this one wasn't sold this time. This one wasn't sold this time. This one wasn't sold. It's just so crooked. I mean, you can't even adopt one if you want to. It's insane. People call me all the time, like, "What? How do I get one? How do I get one?" I don't even know what to tell them.
Rosie, one of our listeners and auditors, just sent me a Facebook message. She said, we could form a coalition, go out and buy the horses, and then donate them to Madeline Pickens. And then the BLM could go suck a duck.
That might be the best thing I've ever heard.
Suck a duck.
I'll adopt one. $125, right? Let's do this.
We all get together. There's how many horse people between all the organizations we know. We could get all donate $125 and have them all just directly shipped to
we can just
We can just board them all at Madeline Pickens' house for free.
Yes, that's right. That's right. We'll contact Madeline and we'll see if she'll board them for us.
Well, you know what? Get Madeline on. Denise is our guest booker. Denise, if you're listening, get Madeline on. See if we've had her on before. She'll come on again, and we'll talk to her about it. I also want to talk to Ellie Price about this and kind of get her opinion. She's the one that has been helping Elisa Wallace get the Mustangs out there for the eventing, and she has rescued, what, 150 she took on land that she bought, and she was able to get it done. So I don't
she's
know.
She's the wine lady, right?
On. She's the wine lady. Yep. She's amazing.
In California.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And she's always in there, and she's really realistic, you know, so I'd be interested to see what she thought about all of this.
Rosie, I love your idea, but the BLM would squash that in some way, too. I don't know that it's almost like they don't want to solve this problem.
Well, you know, each person can adopt four. So I'll adopt four. Everybody can adopt four, and then it won't look like a million of us are.
Yeah, but isn't there a restriction? You can't do anything with them for a year?
You can't sell them, but you can now.
But we could
what
board them at Madeline's place.
Yeah, of course you can. All you need to do is have it fit in the whatever. Yeah, for a year. But then you can actually retitle them now. You can transfer title for $25.
Oh.
So I don't know what's
Isn't
stopping
that the
anybody
same as selling them, really? I mean,
yeah. You just basically, I got this Mustang. I can't take care of it. For $25, you transfer the title. Yeah, this is terrible.
Yeah. Anyway, well, it looks like we're not going to be euthanizing 45,000 horses at this point, according to the BLM, and that was over the weekend.
I'll tell you what, they try to do that. I'm driving my car in front of it. I'll be that guy. I will. I swear.
Like what happened that standoff up there with the ranchers. We'll have horse people in a standoff with the
I'll FBI be that person that changes themselves to the tree so the tree doesn't get cut down. You know, like whatever I have to do, I'll do it.
We'll give you a microphone and you can we'll broadcast nonstop. From there.
Sounds good.
Yeah, okay, good.
Oh, that will be motivating. Shut them up!
Yeah, the FBI will be. There'll be black helicopters landing at our farm here in Florida.
Friendly fire took down Jamie Jennings.
Great, great. All right, well, thank you everybody for listening. We're sorry we had such problems this morning. That always happens the first day back from vacation. We'll get it right. Jamie's computer's updated now. We should all be good. Tomorrow we have the CHA episode. Christy, who we met over the weekend, it was so nice to meet her. She'll be on tomorrow.
Ooh, yeah.
We're talking about counter canner, right? That's the
right.
topic
it's,
tomorrow.
It's not the wrong lead, people. It's a counter canner.
That's right. It's not the wrong lead. I remember
that's
that.
That's why I keep telling the judge. I was doing counter canner.
All right. Very good. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow here. Jamie will be back on when we're back to normal. So we're back to normal. We do have something coming up in a couple of weeks that's very exciting that I can't quite announced yet, but we hopefully will be announcing it on Wednesday's show. I'm supposed to confirm with them today. So we have something that I think you'll enjoy coming up in a couple of weeks here as well. So that's it. You know, there was something, I want to play the show out with something a little different today. And I don't know if you saw the video going around. Let's see here if I can get this pulled up. There's a video going around of a girl, and I don't know her name. I didn't see it. It has 3.5 million views right now. And that is the video of the girl playing the violin with the donkey. Did you see that?
I did not. I thought you were going to play the driving commercial where the horses laugh at the guy trying to park the trailer.
No, but we'll play this one. This is a girl in a field with the donkey playing her violin, and I will play the show out with that today. Thanks, everybody. See you all tomorrow morning.
Spay, neuter, geld, PZP, babe.
Now, is that liking it or hating it? I'm not sure which.